Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Well, stay with us as we explore 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. This is Matt Miller, and joining me for our 47th program in 1 Corinthians is Francis Ball. Francis, it's good to have you with me today.
It's always good to be here with you, Matt, and I look forward to this particular message today because it touches a subject that many people are hopeless about.
And it's also a subject that's very dear to the Lord's heart.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to it too. Francis, first I'd like to read the context for the listeners. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 23 through 27. And those members of the body, which we consider to be less honorable, these we clothe with more abundant honor. And our uncomely members come to have more abundant comeliness. But our comely members have no need. But God has blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member that lacked, that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or one member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. Francis, would you like to say anything about our subject today before we join Witness Lee for the Life Study program?
Well, the subject today, Matt, it looks to me like is on the body of Christ, and about the members, speaking about the different members, some that are very attractive, some that are not so attractive, and yet all the members are linked together in one body. And it's the body of Christ that's our subject today. And I think this is a subject that many, many people are very interested in. They like to talk about the body, but how could there be the oneness of the body that is spoken of here, that all the members are really one with one another? One rejoices, all rejoice. One is suffering, all suffer. I don't know that we've seen too much of this in this day and age, but I believe this is something on God's heart.
I think so too, Francis. Let's go to Witness Lee.
One body with many members. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, these we clothe with more abundant honor. And our uncomely members have more abundant comeliness. But our comely members have no need. If you think you are so good, you are so comely, you are so gifted, then you have no need. But God has tempered, read the note, literally blended, mixed, compounded, adjusted. My goodness, to be blended with so many, no need to say with so many, just to be blended with your wife or with your husband is not an easy thing. But in the body is to be blended with many. God has blended all the different members of Christ together into one body. Humanly speaking, this is altogether impossible. God has tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member that lacked. That there should be no division in the body. Listen, once the body is divided, God's administration is finished. No way. God has only one way in the entire universe to carry out his administration. Ephesians 1:10 tells us God is going to head up all things in Christ, through the body of Christ. Christ firstly has to head up the church. Then God could use the body of Christ, headed up in Christ and by Christ, to head up all the things. The time is still not here, but we believe the time is coming. The time is coming that all things will be headed up in Christ. And that it will be the fullness of the dispensation. How could God do this? No other way but by hiding up us in Christ. This is why the Lord surely needs a recovery.
Francis, there's a lot here, and I want to just stop and go back to one little point and emphasize it, and hopefully you can develop it. And later on in the program, we'll come back to this matter of recovery. Our whole third section is going to be on this matter. So let's leave this matter of recovery and talk about this one point that he mentioned from verse 25. There should be no division in the body. You know, it seems like today that's all there is in the body of Christ is divisions. And that's why I like the way he ended saying that the only way that you could have no division in the body is when all things are headed up in Christ. Mm. Isn't that good?
That is marvelous. That is a real promise. I like that portion very much when it says all things will be headed up in Christ. There's no other way for God to have his administration on the earth without the church. And by the church, I mean the members of the body meeting together as one and keeping the oneness without division. That means that as a church, we should be coming together without any preferences of what kind of people we have. As long as they're believers in the Lord Jesus, they're part of the body, and they should come as those members of the body. Then we can have something of the display of the body of Christ and some way for God to get his purpose. But as long as we're divided, as apparently it is so today, everywhere there is division, calling ourselves by different names, by different ways, accepting some people and rejecting other people who are believers, this can never be the real oneness that has been spoken of in this chapter and also is the body that God wants.
Francis, he mentioned a comment here that I thought was pretty strong, and maybe a lot of listeners have never even heard this kind of talk. Let's talk about it a little bit further to clarify it. He said that if there is division in the body of Christ, God has no way to carry out his administration on the earth. Administration on the earth, what does that mean?
That means God has a purpose, and he has to administer his purpose to be able to accomplish it. And for this, he needs to have one body expressing him on the earth. That means he has to head up everything in Christ, under Christ's headship, and as the body. So the body of Christ is actually that under Christ, which is he himself being expressed. And for that to be so, there has to be the one body on the earth.
And he's the administrator.
He's the administrator, but he has to have a body to administrate this in a proper way.
It's really a good picture. I think the Apostle Paul's the only writer in the New Testament that referred to the body of Christ. And since it's the body of Christ, he's the head, he's the one administrating, but he needs that body on the earth to do it through.
Just as we, if we don't have a body to live through and to operate through, we certainly can't express who we are and what we're doing.
You know, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, there's two sections, so to speak. And today we're in the second half of that chapter, and the body is repeated many times. The matter of the body has many members. So the second half of chapter 12 focuses on the body. The first half of the chapter focuses on the spirit. We've covered that in the last couple radio programs. Now we're moving on to the body. Let's go on to the next section with Witness Lee, and he's going to talk about the contrast between the spirit in the first half and the body in the second, because the gifts are of the Spirit and by the Spirit, but they are for the body.
Good.
Let's go to Witness Lee, where he talks of the transfer from the spirit in the first half of the chapter to the body in the second half of the chapter in verse 13, which says, "For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one spirit."
The Bible says, baptized into one body to drink. This is crucial. Into one body to drink. We are in the body to drink. In one spirit, we were all baptized. You have to underline the rest. Into one body to drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so happy that I am now in the body drinking.
Amen.
And you are too.
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
The transfer occurs in verse 13. From verse 12 through verse 27, 18 times the word body is used. Body, 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 body. Not one time the spirit is used. The spirit is not in these verses. The spirit is in verses 3 through 11. There, you don't have the body. In those verses, you have the spirit. Then from verse 14 to verse 27, it talks nothing but the body with the members. Paul was so burdened, so centered on the body. The gift is not a matter only of the spirit, but for the body. It is by the spirit, it is of the spirit, but it is for the body. Not for you. In Paul's writing concerning the matter of gifts, in the first chapter, that means chapter 12, he didn't stress anything so strongly as the body. The body, the body. You must be in the body. And you must be for the body. And you must be thoroughly body conscious. And you must be absolutely body centered. As long as you are body conscious and body centered, it's okay. You'll be used by the Lord.
Francis, how about this stress by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on the matter of the body?
This, Matt, is tremendous, because this really changes the focus of any seeking believer who wants to see God's purpose accomplished and wants God to be able to administrate His will on the earth. There must be a body for Christ. And this has not been in the thought of too many Christians. Except until this ministry came, I think we begin to realize that the focal point of Paul's ministry is the gaining of the body of Christ, the gaining of a body for Christ made up of all the members who are the believers in Christ and who have various kinds of abilities and gifts, but they all must work together in oneness to be the expression of Christ as one glorious person. So I think we're in a very strategic point in our messages, especially in this book on 1 Corinthians, which centers so much on the body in a very practical way. Many people talk about the body, but they don't think of it in a practical way. They're talking about all the members somehow or another. One day, everything will be all right when Jesus comes. But Jesus is not going to come until He has a body to come to. So I feel like we're really on an important subject today, Matt.
I agree with you, Francis, and I mentioned earlier in the program that we were going to come to this matter of recovery at the third section. It's time for us now to go to that third section and touch this matter of recovery.
Whosoever would depend upon the body, be in the body, and be for the body, not trusting in the gift that much, will be very useful and successful. This is a law. This is a spiritual, natural law. Why? Because God doesn't care for your gifts. God cares for the body. Your gift is not the means for God to carry out his administration. It is the body, the mystical body of Christ, that is the real instrument God is going to use to carry out his administration. You may say, hasn't the body been divided? Right. But in the Bible, there is a principle of recovery. The body has been divided, but God has a principle of recovery. And this principle of recovery doesn't need a great number, just a small remnant who would take the standing of God's intention and who would be one with God in his intention. This small number will be used by God to replace the last matter. So, still in the eyes of God, the body, in the recovery sense, it is a replacement. In anything lost, then you have the replacement. This replacement is more dear, more excellent, more precious to the Lord. The recovery today is more dear, more precious, more excellent in the eyes of the Lord. Because the Lord has lost his treasure. And now he has a replacement. Who did the work? The administrator. Through what? Through the body.
Amen.
Churches have been raised up. Through what? Through the body. Who did it? The heavenly administrator.
Amen.
We must see the heavenly administration.
Amen.
The Lord will gain the entire world.
Amen.
If you let him be the administrator. If you take his way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By his mercy. Just let him be the administrator. And care for one thing, care for the body, that is the best means for God's administration, to bring him back.
Francis, the Lord is the heavenly administrator carrying out his heavenly administration. And as a result, there have been churches raised up. There has been a building up of the body of Christ all over this earth in the principle of no division in the body. Can you say something about this recovery that Witness Lee spoke about?
I really would like to say a lot about this recovery that Brother Lee spoke about, because this is the thing that's on the heart of many, many people in these days, and this recovery work is spreading over the whole earth to bring together companies of people who are real believers in Christ, who are just not divided by any outward things and by any kind of doctrinal disputes, but are really one together to be the body of Christ. This is the way God can work out his administration. And there is no other way. This has to be recovered in order for the Lord to come back. How can he come back when there's no administrating body for him to administer through and get everything headed up in Christ? This is certainly something that needs to be recovered. And I really appreciate Witness Lee's reference to the principle of recovery that's in the Bible. Certainly we see this. Even individually we see this. We were all lost. We were all in sin. We were all undone. We had no way. We were doomed. We were guilty. And there was no way to deal with our sinful nature and to get us to be one with God. But Christ came. And through his death and resurrection, he brought into being millions of members of this body. Now they need to be put together in a proper way so that this can be expressed not only in one place, but all over the whole earth, locality by locality. I think we have realized in this recovery that the Lord is recovering a proper local expression of the body. By that I mean the believers who live in one city, like in the Bible, it was Corinth, it was Ephesus, it was Smyrna. All these were places, were cities, and they comprised an exhibition of the one body of Christ. And that's the recovery that's going on today, so there can be an expression of this one body, city after city, until the whole earth has an expression of this one body. Then the Lord can come. He cannot come until there is this oneness. And this is the object, the goal, the purpose of this principle of recovery that's in the Bible and now is being experienced by thousands of people.
You know, this matter of recovery was so central to Witness Lee's ministry and that of Living Stream Ministry that Living Stream actually has a New Testament recovery version of the Bible, and actually a recovery version of the Old Testament as well now. But I think a lot of our listeners have called and got a copy of the recovery version and been helped by the footnotes in the recovery version. And in their thought, they still may wonder, why do we use this term recovery? I hope this has been helpful to understand the need for the recovery.
Yes. And as I mentioned, individually, we needed to be recovered by salvation and by regeneration. But corporately, we need to be recovered to be the one body of Christ. It's true, the body of Christ is divided, but there is recovery to bring into reality this matter of an administrative body through whom God can administer his purpose on the earth.
You know, I said at the beginning of the program, Francis, that this matter of no division in the body, I asked the question, is it too idealistic to think that there could actually be no division in the body of Christ?
Well, it depends on your willingness to see what the Bible says in the way of recovery, that such a thing can be accomplished and must be accomplished. God will head up all things in Christ, first of all, in heading up the church. And the church is the believers over the whole earth who have received the redemption that was accomplished by Christ and are learning to drink of the Spirit so that they can really merge together into one expression over the whole earth, city by city.
The New Testament says that judgment begins with the house of God. I was thinking of that when you said this matter of heading up all things in Christ. Surely Christ needs to head up his own house before he can head everything else up in the universe.
That's right. That's where he starts, and that's where he will go on until he has what he needs.
Thanks for joining us today. I sure appreciate having you here with me. Without Chris being here, it's good to have you here.
Matt, it's been very, very enjoyable to be with you.
And it's also been good to have you with us. Thank you for listening today. This is Matt Miller on behalf of Francis Ball. Thank you very much for listening.